You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
The podcast where, for better or worse, for good or bad, we give you our honest opinions on experience we encounter. Man, I'm fucking this up because I tried a new intro thing there. I tried to get more epic.
I was digging the intro. It was a lot of energy.
Yeah, that was cool. It was great. And then I fucked it up. But That's typically my style. So we're going to roll with it.
Yeah.
And we're going to be good. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Kyle?
I'm not bad. I'm a little dizzy. Only because, here's my thing, man. I think I've said it many times before on the show, but certain first-person shooter games can fuck me up because I have a bad equilibrium.
You did talk about this.
And before I came over here, I was playing Deus Ex Human Revolution. I was going to start playing that because it looked kind of cool.
Is that the 360 PS3?
Yeah.
One?
The one made by Square Enix.
Okay.
It was cool, but I didn't find out till after I had to quit because I was getting sick that it does have a field of view slider. And as long as I can adjust those to maximum, I do better.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
are you playing this on your PC?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably part of it, too.
It is because you sit closer, and it always I always have a much more problem on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just... And when it hits me, and it takes a little bit to come out of that funk. But I'm not bad.
That's good. It's really good.
Just playing that. I've also been playing a shit ton of Overwatch, which you have still not experienced
yet. I have not, no.
But I do highly recommend it to you again.
It looks fantastic. I have Smite in my life, and I don't have room in my life for more than two.
When was the last time you played Smite?
Last night.
Really? Yeah. You still play it that frequently?
I play it every night. Or wow. I try to, anyway.
I didn't know you were that into it. I've played Smite before, but it didn't hook me.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it's because it's just so close to the characters and it feels more action-oriented than Heroes or Dota or League of Legends. And League of Legends was when I got into previously. And then for all of a sudden, it doesn't work on my computer anymore.
That's
like,
weird because that thing runs on a toaster.
Hard reboot, uninstalled it, clean uninstall, reinstalled it again, and it'll never boot up again. So fuck my money I put into that game, I guess. It's just done. I only like probably 40, 50 bucks, so it's not too bad.
Not as bad.
And I put hundreds of hours in, so
I know
I got my money's worth.
Andy Eggleston has probably dropped 200 plus easily on that game. Yeah.
I would love to talk about League of Legends sometimes, but I don't know any of the new characters now.
We're going to have him on, I know, in the very near future when we do any Arnold-based movie. So we'll probably do a double record there. We'll do the League one. Because I think he's like gold right now in this season. He always goes for at least gold. I don't think he's ever made platinum.
Right, but he's not better than I've been.
He's pretty fucking good. He will be modest and say he's not that great. In the overall scheme of things, he's probably not. But to me, he's the best fucking player
I
know.
We're not doing like pro streamers and stuff, but
League, I've tried it a ton of times, and I can't get into that one either. And I think my problem with it, compared to why I did like Smite over all of those, and the reason I like Overwatch so much, is that a regular League game is going to be 45 minutes long. So yeah, I mean, at that point, like, that's just way too long of a game for me, though. 45 minutes, man.
It is.
And especially as a learning experience, fuck, man. When you go through all that and then still lose handily, it's just not fun to even experience that in League of Legends. So that was always my thing with it.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. That's my argument against Bloodborne and Dark Souls and why I don't have as much fun there because you feel like you waste your time. But it's more sporty. It's like, you know, game of football. Like, do you think the team that loses every time is just like, fuck this, we're done, because that was 2 hours of our time?
I'm just saying it's disheartening.
It is.
I know fans of constantly losing football franchises are pretty upset. They're like, God damn it.
Sure.
Fucking Raiders lost again. We run one game this 13-game season. That fucking sucks.
Well, that's why I like Smite.
It goes a lot faster.
It has that mode that can be 20 to an hour long, 20 minutes to an hour long, but it also has like four or five other different modes that range from like 10 minutes to 15 minutes. So like you can get in and get out really quick. And I'm playing on Xbox, so like I really don't get a lot of the troll hating.
Okay.
Negative
I played on PC, of course.
Shit, yeah. Because like League of Legends, I played on PC. That's the only way to play it.
Exactly.
And it is just rampant hate.
Very toxic community.
It's just garbage people playing that game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just not a good environment. It's might on Xbox at the very least. I don't know about the PC. Has been very welcoming, and like maybe 10% of the people use headphones. So like the ones that do are not dicks. They're like really cool and like give you help and instructions, and like I like that environment. Like, so Smite hooked me for that.
Are you a headphone user as well? Do you communicate?
No, I never do unless I know who I'm playing with.
Yeah,
that's I just turn it off thing. Because I just don't want to talk to people.
The nice thing about Overwatch on my PC is that I don't have to talk with the headphone. I can use the keyboard while I'm playing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's very nice. And that's the thing. Like, I think my longest Overwatch match has been like 15 to 20 minutes, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually 15 to 10.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of high action, a lot of things going on. First-person shooter. And there's a lot of different classes.
You do also have to pay for Overwatch, right?
Yeah, there's a $40 version and a $60 version.
And the $60, you have to pay on console. Like, it's not cheaper on console.
No, there's a cheaper version as well.
For consoles, too?
Almost positive. Oh, okay. It might be on the store, and you have... Like, I know when...
It's, like, digital only.
When probably. I was on the Battle.net, when you click to buy Overwatch, it automatically takes you to the $61, of course. But you can find the $40 one,
okay.
too. So,
okay.
And all of that, you get extra skins and shit, but who cares about that? Honestly, I mean,
I am that person who loves skins.
You can unlock them. I mean, that's the thing. The thing I do like, and the thing I also maybe don't like, is that there's once you buy it, that's it. You're not buying skins with real money. You can only get them in game.
Oh, okay.
Through unlocking and you do get in game currency when like every time you level up, you get a loot box and you open that up with four random items. And sometimes it's currency. Sometimes it's a skin. A lot of times it's tags or different voice lines you can make your character say. So
now this is how little I know about Overwatch. Like what I've seen looks good and I'm interested. I'm just waiting a little bit. But is it one of those things where you buy the game, you get all the characters unlocked, and then are they releasing characters as they go, and then are they free for you to play?
Yep, exactly.
That's perfect.
Because they've already released one new character and she's free.
Okay.
And she's another sniper class character who's also a healer. So she's a support.
Do they have like a plan on how often they're gonna?
Maybe, but I haven't researched it that much.
I would imagine it's probably on pace with Heroes of the Storm.
At some point, yeah, you would think. I know they're very, very keen on doing updates, and they try to actually keep, I know, updates level between console and PC.
Well, that's awesome.
So
Smite has a delay. Like the PC gets it 3 weeks before consoles do. So, like, they'll get a god, and then we have to wait 3 weeks to get it. So,
I know that, I mean, for me, I'm a controller kid, so I play even blasphemously Overwatch on PC. I play with a controller. So, I generally tend towards the more not precision based characters. In fact, the character I play almost all the time is the character Junkrat, and he has like a grenade launcher type. Weapon and also like a mine that he can throw down. He's a lot of fucking fun to play though.
So he's the demo from Team Fortress.
Could be considered that, absolutely. They also have another one that I use. Her name is Farah, and she's like got a rocket pack and she shoots missiles. Mm-hmm. So she's pretty cool too. But again, it's more splash damage. I do a lot better with that rather than a precision like a sniper, because again, playing with a controller, I'm going to get out sniped 9 times out of 10 by almost anybody else because they've got keyboard and mouse. Unless I was on console, then I'd be a lot more inclined. But
yeah,
I would recommend it. If you do end up getting it on PS4, I would probably debate about joining you there and purchasing it again. I do enjoy it that much.
Yeah, I'm very interested. Like I said, I'm just waiting for a good deal. Mm-hmm. I almost never pay for a $60 game. Unless
if it's 40 and you can give 40.
If I can do for 40, that might be worth it then. Mm-hmm.
So check that out. Again, it is a Blizzard game, so if you wanted to go PC, I guarantee they will make it run on your PC.
they're pretty pretty good about making it run on everything. They want everybody to play.
Like you said, League of Legends runs on a brick and will not work on my computer. And
I have been playing.
Don't do PC games.
Another bonus if you do PC is that I have been playing a lot with Brooks, fellow guest and friend of the show. We play quite often. We team up
Overwatch?
On Skip. Yeah, Overwatch.
Oh, no kidding.
Me and Brooks.
I thought he'd only be playing Doom forever.
No.
How much he loves that game.
He does love it a lot. But he's still on Diablo 3 and Overwatch when I get on. I'm like, hey, man, let's do it. And he's like, all right, let's do it. Play there. Me and Andy. Andy's got it on PC, as does Casey, who will join us at a future episode as well. So, I mean, everybody that has it on PC, there's a solid crew we could roll with if you get it there.
I mean,
so
that's a pretty good incentive.
So what about you, man? What have you been playing besides Smite? Anything else that you can't think of?
Well, we briefly talked about, I played Saints Row 4, Get Out of Hell, which was the PSN free game, one of the free games
was
for
the
PS4.
Free? Okay.
Yeah, I think last month it was that and a game called Fury.
Yeah.
Which I played through both of them.
I saw good things about Fury. I actually don't have PSN right now.
No kidding.
Okay. I've let it lapse, and I'm going to get it next month because the new Destiny DLC comes out.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of waiting. I'm going to get it. So it's not a matter of when or if, but when. Yeah. So
I'm paying for both Xbox Live and PSN right now. So I get all those games, and that's usually just what I'm doing, or like the free games that come out. And
trying them out. I heard Fury was pretty cool, though.
It's interesting.
Like, it's like a fighting game with swords or something from what I saw. Like 3D style?
It's...
And it's spelled F-U-R-I.
F-U-R-I.
Yeah, yeah.
It's apparently designed, art direction or game direction, I don't know, from the people who did Afro Samurai.
Oh, okay.
So
I
it
like
has
that
same
game a lot.
Kind of art mechanic and style to it. But it doesn't play like that game. That game felt like a more conventional third-person hack and slash.
Yes.
Like, I love that game.
Exactly.
Fury feels like a weird combination between a bullet hell shooter and like Gauntlet, maybe like Gauntlet Legends.
Okay.
And those are the boss fights are within that mechanic. So you're usually dodging a bunch of bullets, getting close to the boss, timing your attack, hitting, and then you get thrown back and you have to go back in between the bullets. And they're very interesting fights. Like every boss is very, very different. The game's really hard. They have like an easy mode that like they really, really warn you against. Cause like I died a few times and they're like, do you want to try easy mode? I was like, yeah, you know what? Let's put on easy mode. And they're like, are you sure you want to do it? We recommend you do not do easy mode. Like that you learn this game and do this. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to learn this game. Thanks for shaming me.
Then why,
video
game.
Don't
put
me easy mode then. Yeah, like, you're going to do that shit.
Just treat it like Bloodborne Dark Souls. Fucking learn it.
That's it.
Grind
so,
it.
I did that, and like all the bosses are so varied, and the way you play it is really interesting. I don't know if I'll be able to really describe this well, but you essentially have a health bar, but you have five different health bars or three different health bars depending on your difficulty. And when you fight a boss, they also have like a certain number of health bars. So they have like anywhere from 2 to like 9 or 10 health bars. So when your health bar goes down, the boss fight resets and you start. So they're essentially your lives. But with the bosses, as you take their health bars down, like they start adding more to their pattern. So like,
okay,
let's say the first health bar is like the boss is like slash slash big bullet attack. Then once you take them down to their second health bar, then it's slash slash bullet attack. And then like this big barrage that takes up half the screen. So then you have to learn that. So as you're whittling this boss's health down each time, you have to like learn a new part of the pattern.
Okay.
And it's really interesting. It's very much a rote memorization game. Like if that's not your cup of tea, you're not going to enjoy it. It's not the kind of Bloodborne or Dark Souls. Like there's some memorization when it comes to like exploring the land and stuff, but like boss fights, it feels a little bit more intuitive and like, especially Bloodborne, like twitchy and like it's more gamery. This game feels very much like I need to memorize this pattern. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to do anything.
So like, it's like old school, but also a lot of MMOs do that style for their big raid bosses.
Oh, where see, like, I've not played many MMOs like that.
So like 75% health, the attack pattern changes, and they'll usually add a new attack. 50% new attack, plus here's adds to take out. So it's like, it's
like
an evolving
that,
fight.
Yeah.
So
it's real cool, but like if you whittle down 9 health bars on the boss, and then you die, you go all the way,
way back to 10.
And that's, it's frustrating. Of course. Hard.
Yeah.
It is a hard game.
So if you die with one health bar and the boss, you've taken off like three, mm-hmm. they don't get theirs back too, right? They start with the three gone mm-hmm. still?
Yeah. Okay. But it's still super rough.
Yeah.
And there are, once you get them down to their final health bar, it's that's when it becomes the bullet hell, like really focused. Like it's survived 6 minutes of bullets and like you have to find the pattern in and like that's when it becomes really fun for me and twitchy is yeah. that like gut instinct of moving your small little character around these bullets and like finding the path in.
Okay.
I recommend it, but it is very hard and it puts up like almost an impenetrable wall. Like it's a game that's like, I dare you to play me. So some people will be turned off by that, but it like going through it, if you don't have too much trouble, like you'll die like 3 to 10 times per boss. It took me 3.5 to 4 hours to beat. So it's not very long. Oh, so you
beat the whole game?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, I think, 10 or 11 bosses maybe, and then it's done. And that's it. There's no in-between.
So it's good for the free game of the month and yes. maybe pick up when it's on sale.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Those are the highlights. The lowlights of the game, and it's a really big lowlight, is like once you beat a boss, you have to walk to the next boss. And it's the most agonizing slow pace. And it's so bad. I think they patched the game and they put in a button where you press like X or circle, I think, and your character will automatically walk. And like what I ended up doing was just like pushing that button, going into the kitchen and drinking. And it, like 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later sometimes, still fucking walking to the next boss because it is so impossibly slow.
And there's not even like any story happening? That seems really
There's some dialogue. There's this rabbit character, this character with like a giant rabbit head who's essentially, I don't know, kind of like your conscience, essentially guiding you through talking about the bosses and their history as they go. But it's not visually interesting. It is just like static angles and it just feels a little cheap in that department. It almost feels like game lengthening or maybe like they're loading the bosses or something. Okay. But it's
weird.
It drags it down. Yeah. Like, this could have been a fantastic game if you go from boss to boss to boss real quick. It would have kept that high pace action up, but like, it's a weird downtime when it is down. So, I recommend it, but with reservations for sure. What about you? What else have you been playing?
Overwatch, of course. I've been playing some of the games mm-hmm. for future episodes, which I'm not going to discuss.
We won't talk about those.
That's been pretty much it. A lot of Overwatch. I started Deus Ex today. Mm-hmm. I want to think there's one more I downloaded on my Steam and started playing recently, but I cannot think of it. So again, I won't get into it. I guess the one last question before we start this. Today is the launch day of a very big, very hyped game. I want to know if you're going to be interested in this.
Oh, I do know what it is.
No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Are you going to get it?
Probably at some point. Yeah. I'm probably going to get it, but it is a game that I was super hyped about 2 or 3 years ago.
And then you'd lost. That's almost my exact
path. Yeah, and then they just keep dragging it out, and they're like, here's this new announcement, new trailer, and it looks the exact same as the last time. And my excitement's waned.
And they also, there were like no review copies. So, I mean, this is launch day, and I still know nothing about this game, which is generally not a good sign, but that's not always true. Some things that have had delayed reviews have been pretty good. So
yeah,
I just haven't researched anything yet. So,
well, it's the interest just isn't there for me anymore. Yeah. Like I think it still looks beautiful and it could be interesting, but I'm also not super interested in like a sim game where I just fly around aimlessly and explore. Like that's for a younger version of Ryan. Ryan, where I'm at now, doesn't have free time to spend hundreds of hours like exploring planets. Like, tell me a story that I can get involved with, or like have like a really good gameplay hook. Otherwise,
that would be a game for the Kyle that still did a lot of drugs.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah,
if I still smoked weed or did a lot of shrooms, I would fucking love No Man's Sky and would have bought it and had it at my house already.
I can see that.
Again, yeah, I get it's so much of this other stuff that like. Mm-hmm. I can't see myself being focused on it.
Yeah.
So
gathering resources, not interested in games. Yeah. Just nope. Thank you. The absolute unless worst it's a real time strategy.
Every Mass Effect.
No thanks.
Worst part of every Mass Effect.
Yeah.
But yet, yeah, you gotta fucking do it. No Man's Sky, you gotta fucking do it. So. Yeah.
But instead of like a nice big planet where you can just put your spot around, you're on the planet.
It's much more like Mass Effect 1.
Looking around. Yeah, yeah, like the Mako shit. No, thank you.
Which nobody fucking
no
liked.
Thank you. Yeah.
Except for me at the time, but replaying,
I did
hate,
too at the time. I was like a hate. I was like in denial.
Oh, I was
like,
too. I was too.
Oh, no, the Mako is fantastic. This is great.
You people are fucking stupid. Just get with it.
2 years later, I was like, this is the worst piece of
then
shit.
Then you also
ever.
Realize that
like garbage.
Every fucking base is the same layout. It's like,
it is. It's
did
so
one
lazy.
Pirate design this?
It is.
And just
yeah.
sell it to every other pirate in the galaxy? I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of galaxy-spanning things, let's get into the topic of this episode.
Galaxy-spanning, huh?
Well,
let's see how you segue this shit in.
Well, because I know that there, well, from talking to another friend of mine who went to Gen Con, which is what we're going to talk about. You were at Gen Con this last weekend.
So it spans galaxies, huh?
Well, I know a lot of the games there dealt with that.
There you go. Okay. You tied it in.
So, yeah, well, that's done. What I was trying to get at. I know there were a lot of spacefaring games.
Yeah.
And he showed me one, and I cannot remember the name because I was going to ask if you had seen it. What I remember about it is three-dimensional boxes of the colors red, blue, and purple.
Okay.
And if none of this is striking anything to you, so I'm,
not
nothing
far.
Else will.
Not
okay.
so far.
So anyways, what we're going to do here is be a bit of a different layout because I did not go to Gen Con.
No.
I have never been.
I will just say at the top of the episode, I think next year we need to at least buy you like one-day passes, like you and sound engineer Andy both, and capture some footage because
it's
crazy.
The only reason I did not go this year is because I had to work that weekend and I couldn't take any time off of work. Had I not, I'd have been there with you at least two of the days.
Yeah.
I mean, number one, it's just you and me hanging out looking at weird shit, which is always fun anyway. So
yeah.
So as long as I have the time off next year, I will fucking be there, hands down, no questions. So, but because I didn't get to go, I'm going to just talk to you in general about Gen Con.
Sure.
And board games in general, because you are also much more into the board game scene than I've ever been. Not for any reason that I don't like it. It's just always been harder for me to get groups of people together to play them.
Yeah, I think going into this, well, first, let's just say Gen Con is like a big national convention for board games. Luckily, it's in Indiana, which, hey, Indiana did something. Like, that's pretty crazy that, like, I wound up in this state that there's literally just cornfields and John Cougar Mellencamp.
Well, they almost fucking lost Gen Con few years ago when
our retarded-ass
governor.
Yeah, Mike Pence, right?
The harshest fucking religious liberty law in the fucking states.
Yeah, not to get into politics, but he literally almost cost Indiana its big money driving convention because, like,
not only that one, but
a
shit ton
source.
Of other ones
oh,
too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I know Gen Con is massive here, and
yeah.
So, anyways, yeah.
I wish I had the numbers of how many people attend, but it's you've been to the Indiana Convention Center?
Yeah,
it is literally filled. Like, you can't go anywhere without like elbow to elbow. Like, it's packed, and it's crazy. Like, this year it was so big, they went into Lucas Oil Stadium, too.
Wow.
It was
okay.
So big. And
so, I guess first question,
yes.
Any good cosplays?
Cosplays?
Cosplays,
costume
cosplays?
Play?
Yeah.
Cos?
I've always said cosplay, but
like
I know it's
sign, tangent, and cos?
Yes. Were there any good cosplays?
There were some good cosplays. It was... And this is the thing with Gen Con is it fares... So there's a lot of board game stuff, but there's a lot of tabletop role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons and everything. So you'll see like 8 out of 10 cosplays are just people being their characters from these role-playing games. So just made up fantasy elves and mages and knights and stuff with armor. But you do see some cool stuff like that 20% like... Rey from Star Wars, like there were like 30 Reys, and like
nice.
Some of them were like little girls, like 7 or 8 year olds. I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Like, I'm so glad like that movie is reaching like a young generation and getting their hooks in. And like, I saw a lot of Finns, which was cool because, you know, Star Wars, like, you know, a black person or somebody of color, like, who are they going to be from Star Wars from before Force Awakens?
Well,
there wasn't
coolest,
a character like Lando.
Goddamn,
that's
Lando
it.
Calrissian, coolest character in all of Star Wars.
I guess that's true. There's Lando. There's but no, I've never seen a Lando in any of these
that's
conventions.
That's true. Fair
ever.
Enough.
I've never seen a Lando.
You don't see many Landos in any cosplay aspects, but goddamn, there should be more.
There should be. I why
it's goddamn
I
Billy
Lando.
D.
Yeah,
Williams. Are you
so
kidding
good.
Me? Who would not want to be
Oddly
Lando Calrissian?
Enough, you also never see Han Solo's. You always see Princess Leia, and you see Chewie's, and you see Luke's. You never see Han Solo's.
And Vader's. Yeah.
Why is that? Yeah, you see Vader's.
Did you see any Kylo's? Were there any Kylo's?
There were no Kylo's this year either. Yeah.
Damn.
I did. All right, so we're talking about the cool cosplays we saw. The two coolest ones I saw were somebody made like a Sentinel from X-Men, like the big robots. And he had like stilts on and like a motorized voice that spoke out like "kill all mutants." And it was like this recording he had. He had like lights going through the entire suit, and like it looked like metal. Like it was probably like cardboard or plastic or something, but like it looked metal. Like, and you walk up to it and you think somebody just made like a statue. Cool. And then it starts fucking moving. You're like, oh my shit! Like this is amazing.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah. Well, I also heard like a bunch of dumbasses in the crowd like not get it at all. Like, look, that's the Iron Giant. It's like, no, wait, it's so not.
They know the Iron Giant, but they don't know Sentinels from X-Men? What the fuck?
Right?
I would expect the complete opposite from that.
Right? I also heard it referred to as an Iron Man, and I'm just like, just fucking quit. Like, you have no place being at a nerd convention if this is what you're doing.
I love people that totally don't get it. Oh, look,
yeah.
An Iron Man.
Yeah, and it wasn't one of the moms carrying their kids. Like, this was, like, a man there, like, a nerdy man with glasses and a superhero t-shirt saying, that's an Iron Man. It's like, you should know better. Otherwise, take that shirt off and go home.
I don't.
Like, that's
I don't get
shameful. And I also saw, like, the cartoon or comic version of Lex Luthor in the purple-green suit. Okay. And it was, like, a really cool power suit the guy made. Also, again, with lights, he had, like, pneumatic fists, or they probably weren't pneumatic. There's probably like some kind of little rubber band.
Yeah, like the old robot hands
Tommy Boy has. Yeah.
Was he bald or did he have the red
hair? He was bald. He shaved his head.
Fucking.
He shaved his head.
Devote to it.
Yeah. So that was super cool. Probably the best cosplays I've seen, though in previous years I've seen a Groot that was pretty amazing. Somebody made a fucking tree man costume for Groot. And, there is something else, like some kind of big, I don't know, Warhammer, if you're familiar with the space.
Very remains, love like, Warhammer 40K.
The material doesn't do anything for me. I like the Dawn of War games on the PC, but I've never played the actual table
game. I never have either, but
the designs are really cool.
And I'm really wrapped up in the myth and the mythos of the series. I like 40K better than I do just regular Warhammer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 40K, like those Space Marines are
so fucking crazy. Yeah. Just, oh my God, man. If you start getting into all that shit, man, it is a rabbit hole of information. If you like to research things like that, I would recommend you just go on the 40K wiki and lose about 2 weeks. Because, man, it is fucking in-depth, the shit in that series.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really a lot of the stuff there is like it's all entrenched in lore somewhere. Like any game you play, there's like, here's our lore book. And it's like 50 pages. And it's like, what? Okay, sure.
So board games, man. When did you get really into them?
I've been into board games all my life. It's funny because going into this, I think you had the preconception like, oh, I'm like the big board game guy. But like I really wasn't, and I was. And it's probably for the same reasons you said, was like, I really loved them. And like anytime I could like find a board game or something, I'd buy it, get super excited, and have nobody to play it with.
Yep. That's why I didn't do that.
Yeah, I still did it because like it'd be one of the things where like, oh, I fucking love these miniatures. Like they look so cool. And then they'd sit there in a box and they wouldn't get played. But really, like, Gen Con isn't just, like, those super nerdy games. Like, there are a bunch of party games. You'll see people playing, like, Pictionary and, like, Cards Against Humanity. Like, the more the crowd-friendly ones.
Okay.
The party-friendly games. Fucking little mosquito gnat.
So I was expecting more of the super nerdy, like,
roll
these four die to see if you move to the left or the right things.
And that's so, there, too.
Okay.
That
okay.
is there, too.
That's it more has, of what I expected, but good to know
it's a variety.
When I do go next year that there are other things that I can get into as well.
They do. They have the whole variety, and it really is for everybody. They cater to kids and to adults, so you can't be having kids do, like, Warhammer shit where it's like, move this ruler to move 3 inches if you roll 4 dice and it lands on this specifically, and then that's your attack dice, and this is your initiative dice, and then this is your damage dice. No kid's going to get that. They're just going to fucking glaze over or, like, stroke out on the floor.
And not care.
Yeah, you have to have, like, games for everybody, and they do.
So
I'm assuming there are people there showing off games, but there are also areas where you can just go and play games.
Yeah, yeah. So how it is there's a big exhibit booth, and in that exhibit booth is a bunch of game developers and sites online that sell board games, and they're either peddling their games to sell. It's mostly you buy a bunch of stuff there. But they also have like developers who have new games, so they have games out to demo. They'll teach you the games in hopes that like you like it and then you'll buy it right away, which I did for several games this weekend.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I came back with 12 or 13 games. I spent about $250 there.
So there's going to be some that maybe we do for the show. I really think we should.
Yeah. And I tried to get like games that weren't too alien. Like within 10 minutes, I can teach you the rules and we can play a game in 30 to 40 minutes and be done. And like that, those were kind of the games I was looking for this con. But like there were games there too that like there's a demo. I played Mega Man, the board game.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they had this game out and it was really cool. It takes up like a whole table, this board, and like they have six different sections. It's based off of the first Mega Man, and each section has like a little mini figure of all the bosses. So you have Bomb Man, Cup Man, Elec Man, Ice Man, Fire Man, and Bomb Man. Did I say Bomb Man? I don't think.
Nope.
Gutsman, then Gutsman. And you go through and then you fight the boss. And then at the end, they have like a giant yellow devil figure, which is the big yellow guy with the black circle with red in it. He's very iconic. If you don't know him, you know him if you see him. And then Dr. Wily. That game apparently takes like 4 to 5 hours to play. So like they demo it for 30 minutes. And that's what you get a lot of in the exhibit hall, is that kind of stuff. Ultimately, I didn't like the game, whatever. I thought it was fine. It's a fine game. Cost like $90. I was like, fuck no. Like, nostalgia aside, like, I really love this, but fuck no.
A real devotion to play.
Yeah. So,
another game, the only game that I recommended to you to check out, and you did check out, is the game that I heard about called Scythe, right?
Yes. Yeah. I accidentally happened into Scythe.
Okay, okay. I would like to hear more about it, because
yeah. The
only thing I got from you, I got a text that says, "So I'm 5 hours deep into a Scythe game, very complicated, very expensive. Don't know yet." That was pretty much the gist of everything that you said about it.
Yeah, yeah. I played Scythe for 5-6 hours on Friday night, or maybe it was Thursday night. I don't remember. But what it is so you have that exhibit booth, and that takes up a lot of it. Then they have just like open tables and different rooms from the convention center. And you have to pay for a separate ticket once you're already inside to get access to these events. Okay. So you can pay $2 to $4 to play a game in its entirety. So Friday night, like I paid, I think $2 or $3 to have 4 hours of large party game night. And I thought this was gonna be like your Cards Against Humanity, Code Names, like these kind of games where it's like the big party games, Telestrations, Pictionary, all that. And it was that the room, like most of the tables were that. I just happened to sit at a table that were just like, "Let's play Scythe." I bought Scythe. Let's play Scythe. And I was like, "Well, I'm a little drunk because I just came from a bar because I had some downtime. So I was drinking and watching some of the Olympics, getting like, you know, my pregame on. So I was like, you know, I might not be able to catch up. This might be a little difficult for me, but I'll try it because I've heard good things." And that game. That game is so big, the board, and it is like, oh man, it's really good. So I'm gonna say a lot of negative things, but it's an astounding game, and maybe is one of the best board games I've ever played.
Wow. Okay. So that aside,
it might be one of the best board games I've played, but it is 30 rules you have to learn right at the front, and it's a game where you win by getting points, and whoever has the most points at the end wins. But you get points by doing these 30 or 40 different things. So there's literally millions of ways you can win. You can get points by being popular amongst people. You can get points by fighting. You can get points by growing your army. You can get points by gaining resources. You can get points by doing all kinds of stuff. And it's this, it's really, really complicated. And really nitty-gritty in the first 20 to 30 minutes, like, you're just overwhelmed. But after playing like maybe a round or two, like you get it. It's really easy. The cards, it's one of those games where like your character, it's so advanced and complicated. You are leveling up and gaining abilities and skills the entire time you play. And your card, it's like a character card. And like, I mean, essentially, it's like a character in an RPG. Like, you are this character and somebody else is a very different character with very different abilities. So there is just numerous ways everything can play out. But it's very interesting. And it's engaging. Like, I was not bored at any point. And it all made sense by the end. Like, I felt like I could play this game again and I get it. And I think I can play a game in under 2 hours next time. I think I can do this different. I think I can do this strategy. And like, I was able to get the game, and that's in direct contrast to like that Mega Man, the board game I played. I was like, this is just fucking like rules and regulations for the sake of rules and regulations. Yeah. Like, nothing makes sense. The cards had like 30 different symbols on it, and it's like, well, this symbol is his life, but this symbol is his speed, and then this symbol is if he can use a certain type of card, but this symbol is for a certain other card that you only use in this situation. And it just becomes this point where,
and that
you,
was the Mega Man game,
yeah, okay, where you just tune out. Whereas Scythe was like, this is your card and everything you're ever going to do is on this card, and once you learn that card, you don't have to worry about anything else.
That's pretty tight.
Like, you just get that leveling system down like really easy. And it's just, it's very smartly designed. It's one of the best experiences I had. But I did not buy it because it was a $100+ game.
Oh, I thought it was like 80 something.
Oh, I've seen it gone up since. And it sold out. And then I went on Amazon when I got home, and it's like 120 or something now. I don't think it's officially out. I think they were selling pre-copies at Gen Con.
That was the launch of it at Gen Con. That was its world premiere. I do know that.
And it's really good. It's a game to look out for.
So hopefully it'll come down in price. It might be. It interests me in the fact that it's World War One retold with mechs. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite PS2 games was this game called like Ring of Red, which was a World War II game with mech-based combat. I really like that. I really like Valkyria Chronicles, which was a PS3 game that had not so much mech, but
I've not finished it, but I played a lot of that game.
It's a really fun game, but So, okay.
That's actually perfect to describe board games, is they all kind of play like a tactics game or a strategy
game. And that's what I really like, because I've always loved the tactical series games. Final Fantasy Tactics is probably my number 6 favorite. And if we were going back to the original list, it just barely does not make the list. But it really also switches with Halo quite often. So a different time when we made the list, it could have been on there.
Yeah.
Tactics Ogre, all of those. Final Fantasy Tactics, I've played all of them. They made 2 Game Boy Advance versions. Beat the shit out of those. I love tactical
DS styles. Version too, right?
I love tactical games. So again, board games have always been interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I've just never had an opportunity.
Gen Con's an opportunity.
Yeah.
And like you said, like I never had anybody to play with. So in college, I just kind of gave up, unless they were like the party games, like a charade type of game or catchphrase or something like that, you know. Something really easy and like you could teach in 2 to 5 minutes. But
and you can play drunk.
Yeah. Oh man, I got so many drinking games from Gen Con.
That's awesome.
But that's all I was able to do. And it wasn't until I came to Indiana and I met a bunch of gamer people that also venture out into like the board game side, like that allowed me to do that. And like now I'm even playing like Dungeons and Dragons like type of games, like tabletop RPGs. And
I have I've always wanted to play a Dungeons and Dragons game, and it's something that I hope still we can set up for this show at some point.
I think it'd be pretty easy to do.
I've always wanted to play. It seems right up my alley. It's a lot of acting and a lot of getting into that character and that role, and man, I want to do it. I just, again, it's never appealed to anybody but me, and so it's,
that's exactly how it was for me. And now I have a group that does it, and it's pretty special. It's something I was like, man, I would have been all over this when I was younger too, but like I just didn't have anybody in North Carolina that was into it.
So what else? I mean, what else goes on at Gen Con? Is there anything video game related at all?
They do have some video game stuff. Mostly a bunch of video games based on board games, which I will actually talk about in a minute. Let me write that down. Because I have two to talk about. But for video games, they do have usually some kind of section shut off where you pay like $2 an hour to play like a bunch of old arcade games. The walkway from Indiana Convention Center to Lucas Oil Stadium was lined with like retro arcade cabinets. And as you're walking down, like you'll just look over and like, oh, there's somebody dressed up as Jack Sparrow and Jack Skeleton playing Police Trainer.
Okay.
That old shooting game. And then, oh, look at that. You know, some Egyptian guy, I don't know, Ra or something, just some guy dressed up in Egyptian gears playing Gauntlet Legends. Like, how ironic.
Yeah, I love Gauntlet Legends.
Yeah. So you can see that kind of stuff, and that's all there. It's just quarters to play, which is pretty awesome. But I know they do, which I had no interest in. They do. But they do tournaments for Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm, Dota 2, and StarCraft for sure. They do all kinds of tournaments throughout the convention.
So here's the thing. I'm going to propose this right now. You go home, you buy motherfucking Overwatch, and we start an Overwatch team for next year.
Yeah.
And we enter that tourney, and we get ninth place.
Well, that's generous.
Right?
That's very generous.
No, it's. I think we could handle ourselves very well. I'm not going to brag, but I will say I'm very fucking good with Junkrat.
Okay.
I feel very confident. I've gotten some compliments from random strangers on the internet. They're like, God damn, man. And I'm just like, all right, I'll take it.
Okay.
I get play of the game a lot. That's another cool feature of Overwatch when after the end of the round, they show who had the best play of every game.
That's what I've heard about Overwatch is the score screen at the end really doesn't make you feel like an asshole if you played poorly. Like, it really kind of boosts you up and like, well, you did good at this stuff.
Yeah.
You did really good at this stuff. Yeah. And like, that's it. I was like, I kind of admire that.
It's really fun, man. I think you would really dig it, especially if we had a good team going.
Oh, I do too. I just know me, I get obsessed, and then that's all I'm going to do. So unless you want me to talk about Overwatch for the next 10 podcasts.
That's like, fine. Like, dude, I'm in that boat. It has taken over my Final Fantasy 14 fix.
Oh, no.
It really has. I've played a shit ton. And again, it's one of those ones where I'm like, man, I got to be playing this. But I could play two rounds of Overwatch real quick.
Mm-hmm. That's how I am with Smite. I'm just like, I don't feel like starting anything. And Link to the Past, like, I'm going to have to play for hours. So let me just put in Smite. And then I played that for hours. I'm like, well, I should have fucking played Link to the Past.
So what is the longest board game you think you've played? Like, how long did you play that Star Wars game?
Oh, that one? Well, I mean, technically, that would be it. Imperial Assault by Fantasy Flight Games. It is a kind of legacy game. Like right now they have like a Risk Legacy, Pandemic Legacy, which are games where you have a session, record your progress down, and then your next session you pick up where you were. And so that Star Wars game, we meet once a month on a Sunday. We play for 6 to 8 hours.
Oh god damn. Okay.
And it takes us 10 sessions usually to beat it. Like, it might be a full year before we beat the campaign. And I'm actually doing that this Sunday. So, I meant to say that earlier. It came to my mind. But this Sunday, I will be doing that all day. So, that's Imperial Assault. And they just released a Hoth expansion. So, now we're playing through, like, a Hoth story.
I was going to get a little braggadocious, but you just blew me out of the water. But I think sound engineer Andy and I once played a game of Risk for 20 hours through a standard work week.
Yeah.
We played for about 20 hours when our boss was on vacation. It was a fun fucking week, man. We played Risk for an average of 2 hours every day for 5 days in a row. And I think a couple of the days we went up to 4 or 5 of just straight Risk. It was a fun time.
What's your Risk strategy? Mine is always start in Australia and then slowly grow and wait for other people to fight.
Everybody fought for Australia. We kind of modified rules. We would have a thing where we played with,
I think three other people or two other people, and we had the rule where like you could take somebody down to their last person, mm-hmm. and if they surrendered, you wouldn't take them out, and they had a chance to build up again. Oh. So it was well, inflated.
Why would you do that then?
Because I mean, again, our boss was at work, vacation for the week. We had nothing else to do.
Why not just start a new game and be like?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I will say that.
I used to go to my friend's house a lot, and his family would play Monopoly, but they wouldn't like in fucking games. They'd be like, they'd have a sheet out of debt. And then, like, if you need itself, well, you can go in debt on this sheet. So you're literally just playing for fucking ever. It's like, I don't want to play Star Wars Monopoly for 10 hours. I don't want to be fucking done.
Yeah.
Like, I win because I'm not negative 10,000. Crit. Probably shouldn't say the name. But.
Monopoly is the game that, like, it will destroy families. Worse than risk, easily. But, man, that game is annoying as fuck. And it. Here's the one rule, and I will tell this to everybody out there who is listening now. Never fucking play the free parking, free money version. Because if you do that... All right, so with that version, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where every time you pass go, you get the $200. Everybody puts it in the middle. Whoever lands on free parking gets
free money. Oh, no, I don't know that. That's horseshit.
Yeah, it totally fucking destroys the economy and makes the game 9 hours long.
Yeah.
It's the fucking worst, but everybody I know wants to play that way. Stupid. No. I never do it.
Only water and electrical taxes go in there. Or the cards, the chance cards.
Nothing. That tell you don't do that. You're fucking the economy.
Put that in there.
You are fucking the economy.
You keep your $200. This is America. Make America great again. Donald Trump would not play free pass and gozies.
No.
He wouldn't play that game.
No, he wouldn't. And nobody else should.
He would just put up a wall on Boardwalk.
That's the only good thing Donald Trump has done is that he would not play free parking gets the money from don't pass go. That's the only fucking thing. I will agree with you there, Donald Trump. That's where they end. But no, don't do that. Because that's what makes that game fucking 5-6 hours long and everybody hates you.
Yes. Yeah.
So stop it. Stop it right now. Mm-hmm. Anyways, back to Gen Con. So you went 4 days? You went all 4 days, right?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday for a little bit. Okay. And I bolted early Sunday.
Did your lovely wife join you at all?
She didn't. She was, unfortunately, she had her own convention this weekend. She had a caving convention.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So she was down south up in a bunch of holes.
Man,
sounds really dirty. Yeah. And I did not mean it that way. But she was caving. Like, she was in a cave, like, at every point this weekend. And if she wasn't, then she was drinking heavily, talking about caves.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I love it. I love you, Laura. You're the best. Mm-hmm. But I bet that was probably a nice thing for you, too. You didn't have to worry about anything.
Yes.
But you would come home? You didn't stay up there?
I was luckily, one of her caving friends, Joe, has a house up in Indy, and he was out and needed somebody to watch the dogs.
That's
so I
fucking
was like,
awesome.
You know what? I'm going to be up in Indy, so I'll do that. Come home, take breaks, go to your house, watch your dogs, go back. Come there, sleep, and just keep an eye on your dogs for you. And so I did that.
Yeah, that works out fucking amazing.
Room and board. But it's indie traffic. So like, it's 5 miles away? Cool. That's still 30 fucking minute drive for some reason.
Yep.
But no, that worked out very well. But I was there Thursday from 10 a.m. till Sunday at noon I left.
Okay. So you spent $200+ on games. Mm-hmm. Give me a rundown. What'd you pick up?
I picked up Codenames, which is the 2016 Spiel des Jahres winner. I don't know. The Spiel des Jahres is some kind of German board game award show, and they give out their awards every year. And this year, the game of the year was Codenames.
Okay.
Which is one of those games I was telling you about, like a really easy to learn party game. In which you have two teams of spy agencies, and you have a bunch of cards on the field, and the cards are, there's a picture version and a word version. I got the word version. And so you have a bunch of just words on the table, just random
face
words
up,
like
face down.
It doesn't matter. The words are the exact same front and back.
Okay.
And it's just like a words like a briefcase, cat, watermelon, wet. And like you just have different words, they make no sense together. And what you do is each person on the teams, we have one person who is kind of like the dispatch agent who knows where all your spies for your team are. So you want to be able to look at the words as the team and call out the words that you think your spies are. And if you're right, you get to put another card, which is like a blue or red agent card on it. And you flip over these red or blue cards. And as soon as you find all of your agents, according to a map that only those two people know, your team wins. So if you get all the blue agents out, the blue team wins. As soon as you get a red agent or like a neutral agent, your turn ends. You can't guess anymore. So as the person who knows where everything's on the board, which are just words, you want to try to get them to go to those words to flip them over. So you can look at your thing and it'll say, like, there's a person on a cat, and there's a person on a watermelon, and then there's a person on dog. How can I say something to them that gets them to only go to cat and dog, but not to this other one, which is house? So then I would say something. You're allowed to tell them one word and then a number behind it. So I would say animal two, and then they would look at the board and have to guess what two cards are animals or what I'm like trying to go for. So they would go for cat or dog, hopefully.
So say that it is dog. Mm-hmm. Could you not say bark?
You could, but bark limits it just to dog. So you could say bark one, okay, and get that one. Okay, but
because you
have
cat and dog,
yes,
and if you say animal, yes, they could go for and theoretically either.
That's the strategy, okay, is you okay. want to race the other team because they get to say whatever they want, and they can say 1, 2, 3, 4, or unlimited, and they can get as many as they want. So you could do one card, one card, one card, one card, but you're trying to beat the other team. So gotcha. You're trying to look for similarities in the cards that your agents are on to get them to guess it.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds cool. What else? Yeah.
So that was one. I didn't get it, but one of the other fantastic games that I think won some awards at the Spiel des Jahres convention was Isle of Skies, which is... This is going to be a bunch of French to people if they don't understand this, but...
So me.
There's a game called Carcassonne.
Nope.
If that sounds familiar, it's essentially a game where you get tiles and you put them down and you try to build a city that has like roads leading into other roads. So you're building these little tiles to make a city. And this game does that with like a bidding system where you have like every turn you're building a city, but then you also have pieces that you're auctioning off and you're like kind of running a store as you go. So it becomes this weird like bidding game mechanic with like trying to build a city to get points. Really, this, board games are not easy to explain without
visuals.
They're
really not.
So I'm doing the best I can.
You're doing a hell of a job.
But that was a lot of fun. I played that a few times at the convention. Sold out really quick because I think it may not have premiered, but it's a very brand new game. Okay. And since it was one of the award winners, it was gone on Thursday. I wish I could have got it because it was really good. I picked up some Marvel card games because... I'm of a course. Big Marvel fucking fan. So essentially, like, I got this game called Versus, and it's expansions for Defenders and A4. So Defenders being, like, the next Netflix-y type of people, like Doctor Strange, Iron Fist, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, all of them. It's essentially Magic the Gathering, but with a Marvel sheen. It's not anything really new or very different, but I kind of like it.
It appeals to you.
It does. It super appeals to me. I also picked up another Marvel card game called Marvel Munchkin. Are you familiar with the Munchkin games?
No, I'm not.
This is one I did play in college. For some reason, this was like a party game that caught on with our hall. And it's this really quirky, kind of funny game. It's almost like a Far Side comic, but like in card form originally. And it's like this fantasy trope where you have a bunch of characters, or everybody is like one character specifically, and your goal is to level up to 10. And how you do that is fight monsters through this card deck. And then while you're playing the game, you can make allies with people and help them out. Or you can be a total dick and like put other monsters on the field for that one person to fight.
Love that.
Completely abandon somebody and screw them over.
Okay, I'm into this.
Yeah, so you get like these teams going and these alliances that you can completely flake on and not do.
That's my favorite thing. I love to do it. And again, that was the big part of the Risk game that sound engineer Andy and I would do. We'd form alliances and then like 10 turns later be like, you know what? Yeah, screw you. I'm taking Australia. That's my favorite thing to do. And I love it when I play Civ 5 online.
Yeah.
Oh man. And I still want to get a massive game going where there's a Skype call as well as the Steam chat going on. Cause there's so much behind the scenes maneuvering that can happen there.
That's always my favorite. That was like in StarCraft when you'd have the Allied victory mode and you turn it off and everybody's like, wait, we just did 7 versus 1 computer. Like, who turned off the Allied victory? I was like, I don't know. Hey, look, Red's still building stuff. It was Red, but like, I'm the one who did it.
So I love it.
I'd fucking completely do it. And then I'd go into somebody's base and build, and I'm like, I'm going to help you out. We're on a team. And then as soon as I had enough, just fucking wipe out his base. Such a dick. And
I love it, man. That's my favorite thing
to
do.
Same in Battlefield. I'd get the, like, the helicopter or the big plane, be like, jump in, we'll go to the base. And then I just drive straight into the ocean and kill my whole team.
I don't do that.
I was such a dick when
I was younger.
That's
pretty good, though. That's pretty good.
But that's essentially Munchkin. It's like, you can be a dick or you can be helpful, and like, you just try to gauge your...
Or both.
Yeah, you really, it's a self-serving game. But they have some really cool mechanics. Some of the cards are very tongue-in-cheeky, which I kind of dig. Like, they have Electro from Spider-Man, where you play it, and his character is like level 5. So not super hard, not super easy. But for every electrical item that is on in your house while you're playing this game, he goes up a level.
God damn, that's cool.
Right? And then they have one that's like the Mandarin. And for every ring that a character is wearing at the table, he goes up a level. And they have like these really kind of meta things in the game that make it a lot of fun and make it very party oriented. So I really dug that. And I was like, fucking $30 sold, done. I'll buy it. Like, that's cool.
I look forward to our next group gathering now.
I would love to bring some of this stuff out. Yeah, it's gonna be hard talking some of the wives into it, but
fuck them.
There you
literally
go.
Literally,
there you go. No, there you go.
I think they'd get into it, especially when there's wine involved. That seems to
you might
lubricate all things.
I don't know. Sorry, Michelle, in advance. I'm gonna throw you under the bus here. Just we played that category game where you have a category and you say, like, I can name 10 of this. The most easy game to explain. And, like, Michelle refused to learn. Like, she was just not having it. And, like, we could not have picked an easier game to teach. And she just was not wanting to do
it. I also hated playing that game with sound engineer Andy. Because he would, he's just like, oh,
he'd rip up. It'd be like, I can name 1. I can name 3. Our team, I can name 22. Are you sure about that, Andy? Yeah, I got it. 22. 22 Christmas songs. I got this.
And then what sucked is like 9 times out of 10, goddamn, he'd fucking do it too, the son of a bitch. Fucking sound engineer Andy. Ruined my night. That's why I like, what was the other game that is electronic that I really fucking love?
It's Catchphrase.
God, I love that game. I love that game so much. That's maybe my favorite one to play.
Catchphrase is just the perfect pickup and go game. Yeah. You can teach it to anybody.
In like 2 minutes.
It's modified charades. It's like super easy. Yeah. It's great. And it's that hot potato element too.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So Gen Con. So there we go. It seemed like a really fun time for you. Mm-hmm. I do look forward to going to it with you next year. I think maybe we'll even try to make it a multimedia event where we take sound engineer Andy.
I think he'd get a kick out of it.
And we do some on-the-location filming and just tear it up, man. It'll be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But until that, man, I think we'll wrap this up. And, you know, I got a couple things I'd like to push here on this episode, which we haven't done for a while.
Go for it.
A few things are our Twitter. I'd really like to push our Twitter and our Facebook. You should follow us at both of them. We are Twitter at Experience Grind Podcast, and Facebook, just facebook.com/ExperienceGrind.
EXP Grind Podcast.
EXP Grind Podcast. On the Twitter. Yeah. And I'm the one that runs it. I don't even know that. My bad. So the thing is, and I'm sure this episode will come out after it has ended, but we are doing a free game giveaway right now. We are giving away the game Titan Souls.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that I plan that we are going to continue to do. It has helped. It's cool. I really look forward to doing that more. I'd also really like to push the Twitch channel. I'm streaming a whole lot more now, and I'm planning to up my investment. I'm going to be purchasing a camera and a green screen within the next month.
Oh.
And I will be visually down in the corner. You will be able to watch me play.
No kidding.
I'm upping it up. That's
fantastic.
I'm really going for it. It's going to be really cool, man. I'm really pushing for the Twitch channel. So that is twitch.tv/experiencegrind. Fucking easy. You cannot fucking miss it. It's really cool. I'm trying to also teach myself to talk a lot more during gaming because I know that's part of it.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to do it because I just want to sit there and focus. But I am working, and I am hoping to make it better. And, of course, the more interaction you give me on that channel, the better I will be, as always. And the last one is, If you are a fan of this show and you listen to us on iTunes, please go give us a rating. I'm not asking for a 5-star. I'm not going to beg.
I'm asking for a 1-star.
Yeah, he's asking
please
for
give
one.
Us 1-star.
I'm not. 5-star is always going to give us better in the rankings. But I do want your opinions. I do read the rankings that we have now, and I do appreciate them. And I would, if you do listen to this on iTunes, take 2 seconds and give us something. I would appreciate that. I know Ryan would. Mm-hmm. And it will honestly help us better the show in the future. It will give us things to go off of. And lastly and finally, motherfuckers, tell us what you want us to do. I am not lying. We will do it. We take all requests. We are working on multiple requests right now. Many things. You know, if you want to come and be a guest on the show for the thing that you request, that is absolutely doable. Even if you don't live here.
You need to pass the screening. You need to pass the screening first.
We have to know that you're legit.
Yeah.
And
I get final say in who's on this podcast.
Yeah, totally. But no, that, and you know, we've got a lot of big things in the works coming up, a lot of big special episodes, and I'll go ahead and tell you now, this is August. For September, we have a big special run we're going to do. We're calling it
Stoner September.
Stoner Movie September, yeah. We're going to be watching and reviewing a shit ton of stoner movies, and it's going to be fucking cool, man. So
if you have any suggestions, please send them to us.
We're always trying to do better for you, and we get better for you when you tell us what to do and what you like and what you don't like. So
it's true.
That's my last outreach, man.
Just like in the bedroom.
Exactly. We don't know what you like until you tell us what you like. You don't like your leg over there? Okay. Tell me.
Then I'll move it.
Yeah, that's all it is, baby.
I'll move it back.
But no, as always, for what it's worth, I mean, you guys are a fucking great audience. It's really great, the outreach that we have gotten and the response that we have gotten. Maybe that's just my problem. It makes me hungry for more, and I want more. So give it to us. As always, you know, we love you guys. You guys are a fantastic audience. Thanks for letting us talk to you for an hour plus every week. And that's all I got to say.
Very sweet.
Thank you.
Instead of going and fucking yourself this week, go treat yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself.
You've been a great audience.
Hashtag treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Grind out.
Hi, this is Ryan, and if you liked what you just saw or listened to, please check us out at experiencegrind.com. Find us on facebook.com/experiencegrind, at Twitter, over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle's tweeting out a lot of stuff all the time. And then you can always find us, our podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitch, or even on YouTube. Find us, just search Experience Grind Podcast. We don't have a channel yet. Stuff super easy to find. But please subscribe. We'll get there to you, make it even easier. And as always, if you like what you saw, we cover mini games and episodes every week. There's sure to be something you love. And as always, grind out.